Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.5 billion back to our customer owners over the last 9 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome in to the Early Line, live right here on SportsGrid on a Friday morning. I am Kevin Walsh, joined, of course, as always, by Donnie Wrightside. Donnie, how are we feeling?
Very good, very rested and ready, as I always like to say, Kevin. What a big night in professional sports yesterday. The trade deadline, which isn't even going to close until today, Major League Baseball. A lot of big trades went down last night. The NBA draft in full effect, an exciting weekend, and also a little bit of Olympics talk maybe today as well. The U.S. women's Olympic team with soccer just underway as well. Big day, even though it's early in the morning on the early line, Kevin.
Look, usually you slap together a 7-7. You got a pretty idea of what belongs where. If you see the order, look, I'm not telling you anything is more important than the next. There's so much that happened yesterday, and let's just get straight into it. 7-7, top headlines. We'll start over in the NBA. The draft just happened, and we're not even starting with the draft. How about Russell Westbrook gets traded to the Los Angeles Lakers? I love that the graphics team goes with a photo of Kyle Kuzma because Kuzma would agree with that. He, alongside KCP, Montrezl Harrell, and a couple of draft picks make their way back to Washington. But Donnie, it's Bron, the Brow, and Brody.
Yep, shake them up, shake them up, shake them up, shake them. Amazing stuff here. In the, basically, fresh into the offseason, stealing a little bit of thunder from the NBA draft, you have a mega deal that sends Westbrook out to the Los Angeles Lakers so they get their big three together, Westbrook, AD, and LeBron James. I don't know how much of a fit it is for the Lakers, but one thing is for sure, the Lakers' odds move towards an NBA championship. You get that superstar player because I think we can all agree he is an elite talent. Are the Lakers better today, Kevin, than they were yesterday? Absolutely, and that's the way you have to look at it. Will it work out for an NBA championship? We'll see. But we always knew the Lakers were going to make a big move. Now we'll just see if it actually works out.
Very excited to break that all down. As Donnie mentioned, the Lakers' title odds go from plus 600 to plus 420. We also did have the NBA draft last night, and it all got underway with Cade Cunningham, the Oklahoma State superstar, will now call Detroit his home.
Yeah, I like the fact that you're going to look at the Detroit Pistons. They didn't trade away the pick for a plethora of picks or some other players and, you know, try to cobble something together just to make a playoff run. If you're going to take a superstar player, stick with him. If he is available at one of those players where we're talking about maybe the best the last 5, 10, 15, or even 20 years dating back to LeBron James in the NBA draft, good pick for the Detroit Pistons. Maybe they can return back to Detroit basketball the way we liked it with the Bad Boys and also those Larry Brown teams with Chauncey Billups. Great move by the Pistons. Take the superstar. Don't overcomplicate things.
Minus 6,000 to be the number one overall selection, and that certainly ended up being true. No upsets there. But once we got to the fourth overall spot, we did have an upset. The Toronto Raptors favored to select Jalen Suggs, instead going with Florida State's Scotty Barnes, which then opened up the door for the Orlando Magic to grab an absolute star from the college basketball world as a freshman in Jalen Suggs out of Gonzaga at that fifth overall spot. Better than 4-1 for Suggs to land as that fifth pick. And it started then a couple of wild picks inside that top 10. We bring the radio audience into the fold here. Thanks to all those that are listening to the early line on Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM Channel 204, and the Mightier 1090. All of our radio affiliates out there. But Donnie, one of college basketball's brightest stars, and Jalen Suggs lands in Orlando.
Yeah, I could imagine when Scotty Barnes went number 4 overall here to the Toronto Raptors, the explosion in the room from the Orlando Magic and their front office sprinting to the telephones to try to get that pick in for superstar Jalen Suggs. That is a great one. Sometimes when those fall into your lap as unexpected, you get that extra boost to the organization, which congratulations. But also from a gambling perspective, Kevin, just a few days ago, 48 hours out, we're looking at like a minus 138 for that exact order of the top four: Cade Cunningham, Jalen Green, Evan Mobley, and Jalen Suggs. Rose even higher yesterday before it was taken off the board, only to have Scotty Barnes go number 4 overall. So sometimes, no matter how much information you are armed with, still doesn't work out in your favor. Score one for the Dogs in this one, and also, to me, one for the Orlando Magic.
What is value when it comes to the NBA draft? All right, baseball went insane yesterday. Apparently, they hate the NBA draft. Trust me, we'll expand on all of these. We'll hit them quickly, though. The Dodgers and the Nats, a blockbuster deal to end all blockbuster deals. Max Scherzer and Trey Turner, Donnie, making their way to Dodger Stadium.
Yeah, we bring up the FanDuel Sportsbook odds boost quite a bit. And there was one not too long ago, Kevin, about 2 weeks ago, that said, hey, would you like the Dodgers at plus 500 here to win the World Series? So we're taking a look at CLV. Maybe they knew something that we didn't. And as I always talk about Major League Baseball, and again, we'll expound on this a little bit later as well, the rich get richer, and we all anticipated the Dodgers with their deep pockets and prospects making a move. Did we expect this move? Absolutely not. Wow.
A stunner. How about we compare the next, we'll bring the next two in the fold here. A couple of lefty boppers making their way to the AL East. The New York Yankees land Anthony Rizzo. The Boston Red Sox land Kyle Schwarber.
Great moves for both of them. You needed that extra lefty bat and another power bat in the lineup for the Yankees, which also all of a sudden looks like a formidable lineup. You didn't think that the Boston Red Sox would sit this one out. Nice move to get Schwarber as well. So the arms race continues, Kevin, in Major League Baseball.
Speaking of lefty boppers, apparently Joey Votto is the best power hitter that baseball has to offer. What in the world's going on with this guy? Six straight games with a home run. I mean, he is absolutely out of his mind. The sports world, a little bit out of their mind. But I love it. And we will break it down right here on the Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, we're right back here on the Early Line. There's a lot to get through. No time to waste. We'll start it over in the NBA world, and we're going to start with, of course, the trade between the Lakers and the Wizards. The wild thing is moments before we were like, oh, it's going to be Russell Westbrook, the Lakers landed Buddy Hield. But then this same trade package was going to Washington. You knew something was up. Ultimately, the details end up with Russell Westbrook going to the Lakers along with a couple of late second round picks. The Washington Wizards get Kyle Kuzma, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, Montrezl Harrell, and the 22 overall pick from last night's draft. Donnie, what was your reaction to seeing this news that Russ was headed to play for the purple and gold?
I was interesting because we heard all offseason who the Lakers were going to be interested in, right? We thought it might be, I don't know, Chris Paul? No. Thought it might be Damian Lillard? No, not really at this time. But it actually turns out to be Westbrook. They needed a big three, Kevin. I think that's where you had to start with here for the Los Angeles Lakers. They got it. Now, maybe it helps more during the regular season to take some minutes off of LeBron, where Westbrook, we know, is like a go-go gadget guy, up and down the court, dunks, fast breaks. Not the greatest shooter, Kevin, and maybe did the Lakers miss out on something by not getting the overall shooter? Because if you take a look at Damian Lillard, He can shoot it. Take a look at Chris Paul. He can shoot it. You got the more athletic guard, which will help them. And again, they're a better team today than they were yesterday. And I think that's what we have to remember. But I don't know if this can carry them to a championship or if the Lakers are done at this point. They gave up a lot to get Westbrook. But in the NBA, it's about superstar. It's not really about depth on the bench. If you can have a big three that can be effective, Kevin, like you think the Lakers have now, I think they're a better off team. I just don't know if it was the pick or the play that they should have went with for the Lakers. But again, it is a play and it does make them better. And that's half the battle.
I think it's a fair point, Donnie. The one thing I wonder is if the Lakers were able to put out enough feelers to get an idea of like, Dame ain't coming. Steph ain't coming. Like Chris Paul's going back to Phoenix. We got to pounce on this now. I also think there's a world where they were like, wait, you want who? And what? For an all-star? Like, Kyle Kuzma played some of the worst basketball these eyes have ever seen in that series against the Phoenix Suns. Montrezl Harrell didn't even play in this series. KCP certainly had his moments for the Lakers. Big part of that title run, no doubt about it. The 22nd overall pick. At the end of the day, I mean, the Wizards ended up trading that pick. I'm not all that worried about that for, you know, a team like the Lakers that's looking to win now. I think for the Russ LeBron conversation, and we'll expand on this a little bit even in Hot or Not, but I think one of the really interesting things, and I don't know if, Donnie, you would disagree here, but I think in terms of personality, just in terms of being an alpha, commanding the room, I don't think Russ has played with anybody like this. When Russ walks into a room, there are maybe what? Four players, or he'd be like, yeah, that guy's better than me. But the problem is only one of them, I actually think, would say it. Like Kawhi and KD are better than him, but those guys are way too quiet. I wonder if LeBron comes with enough gravitas to potentially ground Russ in who he is. Although, again, totally fair, Donnie, none of that's going to help him become a better shooter, and spacing has been an issue for the Lakers in the past.
And let's be real. We like to equate superstars and big-time transactions to different leagues. Now you see Aaron Rodgers in the front office disconnect. Hey, you're cutting guys I didn't want you to cut. You're not looking at guys that I wanted you to look at. So this year changes around. Do we think there's any way that Rich Paul, Clutch, LeBron James, and the Lakers front office were not lockstep with getting Westbrook to the Lakers? This wasn't LeBron James out on some yacht, you know, cruising around the Caribbean, and he gets a text on his phone that says, hey, Westbrook just joined the Lakers. Did you know about that, LeBron? No, I didn't. Let me call up Jeannie Buss and the Lakers and see exactly what's going on at this time. Absolutely not. This move was made, Kevin. Why? Because LeBron James wanted Russell Westbrook on the Los Angeles Lakers. And I guess you have to make this move soon because we anticipated the drafts coming up, free agency. You know, you're going to still have a long summer of a lot of storylines to play out. But it almost has the feel of the Lakers and LeBron James are saying, let's make sure we at least get this done because we don't want to be left where Westbrook doesn't leave, Dame doesn't leave, Chris Paul doesn't leave, and we could make a major change. I think the Lakers are in the market to make a major change and make sure, Kevin, that they got a superstar. But let's be real. LeBron James pulled the strings on this one. He wanted Westbrook. They're not going to be fighting in training camp, fighting in the preseason, fighting over the first one. Like, I can't believe we made this deal for Westbrook because he's a ball hog and he's not letting me get mine during the game. Mm-hmm. Absolutely not. This was okay, approved by everybody involved, and it should work out.
It would be a manic move to not call LeBron and AD to an extent as well. But hey, we're bringing Russ in, by the way. Like, are you happy? Like, what? Like, you, of course, make that phone call. I'll add on the Washington Wizards side of things. What an interesting day for them as we hear that Bradley Beal does not plan to request a trade. That the moves that they made within this draft and with this trade here are moves that they think will keep Bradley Beal in town. Donnie, I don't know. Am I a pessimist? I think that's absolutely ridiculous. And I think that when we get to the middle of September, the Wizards are going to be like, I can't believe this guy. How is Bradley Beal actually going to stay in Washington? I don't believe that for a second.
I guess staying maybe for the super max, but also maybe he has a lot of Mike Trout in him, Kevin. Like, he just, the guy gets comfortable in his environment. You know, I don't know his family situation, but if he has a wife or a kid, they like the area they live in. Sure. He's just comfortable being the Wizards, laying back in the cut, so to speak. There's not a lot of pressure for him to win there. He can get his points. The offense flows through him. He's the face of the franchise, as opposed to them being traded to the Lakers or, you know, another big market where now they're expected to win championships right off the bat. And if he goes there, Kevin, and does not win, what a cost. Bradley Beal should have stayed in that market with Washington where nobody watched him play, and maybe he was just better suited for that. But there is a lot of Mike Trout in him, as it seems at this point. But it is kind of interesting to see, because once you see these trades go down, where you try to pair Bradley Beal up with another superstar with Westbrook. Now, Westbrook bounces the year later, and of course, you put the spotlight on Beal and go, we know you want out, right? And the organization probably like, hey, we can make a big deal for you, and we can totally restart this thing down in Washington. But each time that happens, each bad season that the Washington Wizards had, Bradley Beal is always like, hey, guys, love it here. Don't get rid of me. I want to be here for the long term. It's refreshing to see from an athlete, but we do scratch our head in this day and age.
Kuzma's going to walk in there. Don't worry, brother. Like, now is our time. Let me give you guys some betting notes here from the NBA draft. We're going to mention, of course, kind of where some of these players landed, not only during Hot or Not, but Coach James Young will join us in hour number two. But this thing really got wild right away. At the fourth overall selection, Scotty Barnes was plus 300 to go fourth overall, which then, of course, was going to land to some nice plus money cashing on the fifth pick, and it absolutely did, with Jalen Suggs checking in at better than 4-1 to go there. But that's not where things stopped. James Bouknight was a big-time favorite to go sixth overall to the Thunder. It ended up becoming Josh Giddey, which led from Bouknight's minus 200 price to be a top-10 pick, which ultimately closed at minus 1050, being a losing bet as he fell all the way down the board to 11. Davion Mitchell went from minus 300 to go in the top-10 to nearly plus 200 to go in the top 10, lands 9 because the Sacramento Kings are just amazing. And then some of the fallers, for people that were betting over draft positions and had sweat-free nights, Keon Johnson falling outside of the top 20 when he was once minus money to be inside the top 10. And then how about Jared Butler and Sharif Cooper? Guys with over-under draft positions inside the 20, they don't go within the top 39 picks in this draft, Donnie. From a betting perspective, a wild night in the NBA draft.
No, it certainly was. And a lot of people like to, you know, based on the draft, where you're going to take these players over under, similar that we take in like team totals. You know, Luka Garza goes 52. It's amazing how it's almost like that's factored in, because I saw 53s, 53 and a half, 52 and a half, and he actually goes 52 in that spot. You guys did a great job last night. I was watching live there, both yourself, Coach, and Ben Stevens breaking down the entire draft. Fantastic stuff. And I know when the draft goes off the rails sometimes, Kevin, that's the best programming that you do have. And right away, we were saying, okay, the draft really starts at 5, but you had that shakeup with Scotty Barnes at number 4 overall, and off we went into the draft. We'll see if some of these players turn out to be superstars that we expect, Kevin.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun to break down the draft last night. We'll talk about maybe what we think the Rookie of the Year odds should look like during Hot or Not, but coming up next, Major League Baseball.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back right here on the Early Line. We just mentioned, you know, last night we had a lot of fun on the 2021 NBA draft special right here on Sports Crit. But there was a moment where I'm like, oh, is this a baseball trade deadline show? Like, do we just pivot? Because, boy, did a lot happen yesterday in the world of Major League Baseball. The funny thing is, while typically be like, oh, I don't know where to start. Nope, I know where to start. Are the Dodgers minus 105 to win the World Series, Donnie? Max Scherzer and Trey Turner, how this team has all this money, how this team has all these prospects, I don't know, and I'm sure their fan base does not care. All this team wants to do is bring World Series to Los Angeles, and they made another tremendous move in an attempt to do that.
When you have the deepest pockets, maybe the best overall prospect pool in baseball, you have some of the best scouts, this is what you get. Nobody sleeps on their laurels in Los Angeles. And having to say, take a look at the NL West at this point. What do they have to do? The Padres, who used to operate like a small market team, finally step out of their comfort zone and add superstar after superstar and add to their payroll. And the Dodgers just laugh at that and say, ha-ha, that was a pretty nice try by you. We're going to go out and get Trevor Bauer this year, and we're going to spend, $100 million over the next 2-3 years just on getting him. He's probably not going to pitch for the rest of the season. So what do the Dodgers do? Well, let's go and get the best pitcher available probably in baseball, Max Scherzer. And, oh, yeah, why don't you guys just go out there and throw in Trey Turner for us as well? It's absolutely astounding that even though the Dodgers going, they're not even in first place in their division, I felt like we're crowning them Major League Baseball World Series champions already. Because if you let the cream rise to the top over the next 2 months, the pitching staff that they have, and once Trey Turner gets added to that lineup, if those bats come around and Mookie Betts comes back healthy and Bellinger gets it together, who is getting them out at this point? So we joked earlier in the show about taking that odds boost at plus 500, which was available a few weeks back. We now sit and see a plus 330 number on the Los Angeles Dodgers. What an amazing night for the Dodgers. And how about this, Kevin? This didn't come down to the 12th hour. Imagine if the Dodgers go out and get a couple of bullpen pieces today and just completely retool that entire team and say, you know, what is a tax, you know, threshold here that they have? They apparently don't have one here. You got two superstar players. And also, Kevin, let's flip it on its head here. What are the Nationals doing? You had a nice team here. You just won a World Series. You can't tell me you can't afford these players. So now you're saying, all right, it's going to be Juan Soto and everybody else. You gave up one of the best pitchers in baseball, which I did agree with. But the fact that they're getting rid of Trey Turner and talking about, well, maybe we can't sign him in the future. You didn't sign Rendon. You didn't sign Harper. You didn't sign Trey Turner. You didn't want to re-sign, obviously, Max Scherzer. I don't know what's going on down in Washington, but you just fed the Dodgers basically, I don't know, at least a National League championship or a really good shot at winning a World Series. Astounding that that went down. And keep in mind also, Kevin, we already had him penciled, Max Scherzer, going to the Padres, and the Dodgers probably picked up the phone. Hey, get Magic Johnson, part owner, here on the phone here. Hey, you know what, guys? You don't want to do that. Talk to us here. And like a half hour later, it was the Dodgers now in the running to get Max Scherzer and then Trey Turner on top of it. Fantastic stuff in Major League Baseball yesterday, Kevin.
Let me just say quickly on the Nationals. If I ran a Major League Baseball organization, I would hire a person specifically. His only job would be to call the Nationals once a day to check in on Juan Soto. Are you going to resign this guy? What do you want to do this offseason? I just call him every single day. Because to Donnie's point, the Scherzer thing, cool. Trey Turner being moved is outrageous. And again, look, I get it. This sport cares about prospects. I don't. Trey Turner is 28 years old. He should be a part of this Dodgers organization for years to come. And again, apparently Scherzer, like the deal was done for him to be a Padre, a team that is trying to chase down the Dodgers and the Giants. So you double pay for something like that if necessary. If you're the Dodgers, like you would probably be willing to give up prospects just to keep him off of the Padres, much less land him on your team. And then, and this is what sometimes people always talk about when it comes to trades, and this has to do with all sports. Just get people talking and see where it goes. Clearly, they were on the phone about Max Scherzer, and I was like, hey, now, before you hang up here, what is the deal with Trey Turner? I mean, let's start talking. Let's start figuring things out. Like, this team went to plus 330 to win a World Series. I thought they were going to be like plus 120 to win the National League here. I mean, they're not all that far off, plus 155, which is, it's double amazing that you could see that number and be like, yeah, I kind of get it. They're a wild card team right now, Donnie.
No, and that's the part that we have to bring up because we see all these major moves going down and being made. You know, the Padres tried to pull off, obviously, that trade for Max Scherzer. The Dodgers end up getting it. But the team in first place that just shelled the Dodgers once again yesterday, 5-0 with Johnny Cueto on the mound over David Price. What are the next moves going to be from the San Francisco Giants? Because, again, keep in mind, I did want to preface this by saying, we're not done with the deadline. The deadline is today. So now some of these teams that made those big moves, now we're waiting for the other playoff teams to try to make some moves and move up in the ranks, particularly looking directly at the San Francisco Giants. They can't stand pat right now. They are in first place in this division. They owe it to their fan base. They owe it to the players on the field to make a move to try to bolster, A, the back end of the bullpen, B, it would be great to get another bat in that lineup, or maybe a frontline starting pitcher that they themselves can solidify a chance that once they get to the postseason, that they will have a chance to combat a Max Scherzer in the lineup for the Dodgers at this point, because you do bring up some good key points here. sooner or later, one of these two teams in the NL West is going to face each other in the playoffs. And it almost seems like the Dodgers are like, there's no way, Kevin, that we are going to face a one-game playoff situation and Max Scherzer is going to be on the opposite team as opposed to our team here. Great move overall by the Dodgers, but I'm still waiting to see the other dominoes to fall. Did the New York Mets make a move? Do the Giants make a move? The Phillies, who were down 7-0 in the game yesterday, and everybody's saying, sell off, this team stinks. An unbelievable walk-off grand slam by Miller in extra innings to salvage a game out of the doubleheader. It's going to be great to watch the trade deadline come down today on Friday because there's a lot of big-ticket items that are still out there that look to go to some of these teams in the playoffs, or at least in playoff contention, Kevin.
No doubt about it. I mean, specifically to Chris Bryant, heavily linked to the Giants and the Mets, a couple of division leaders right now. Like, you have to be loving just the ability to now pin those teams against one another, right? Because if you're the Mets, like, you basically promised a big move here. Well, you got to get it done. But if you're the Giants, like, are you really going to sit there with baseball's best record and let the two teams that are trying to hunt you down make, you know, acquire multiple all-stars at the deadline? Really interesting stuff. Far from the only interesting stuff here. We mentioned at the top of the show a couple of left-handed boppers making their way to the AL East. But the bigger name, I think, certainly, Donnie, is Anthony Rizzo of the Cubs. And at times, Donnie and I have had to talk about the short left porch and defend whether or not that thing's a reality. And I think even its biggest detractors yesterday had to say positive things about the Yanks landing Anthony Rizzo here at the deadline to come over and play first base.
I love it. I love the moves here, or what's taking place here for the New York Yankees. Obviously, you get Rizzo, who is a left-handed bat, a guy that's won a World Series. He's a great locker room guy, always with a smile on his face. I think he fits right in with the Yankees. And also, you get Joey Gallo, another left-handed power bat. Let's keep in mind also, you're getting two of the best fielders in Major League Baseball at their positions as well. So you're going to get good locker room guys, power left-handed bats that you needed, and great fielding at the same time. Where do I sign up? And oh yeah, Kevin, you want to stay with below the luxury tax threshold? You got them for free. You got them for free. The Cubs are paying full freight for Rizzo. The Rangers are paying full freight for Gallo. You stay under that luxury tax threshold. You gave up a couple players that, hey, maybe will turn out to be Major League Baseball players during one date. But if you're the Yankees, as we like to say, there is no tomorrow. You have deep pockets. You have prospects. You have a good baseball team that, yeah, look, as bad as the season is for the New York Yankees, Kevin, they're only a few games out here behind the Oakland Athletics to try to chase them down for that last wild card spot. And for me, from a gambling perspective, the thing I love the most, I haven't bet the Yankees very much from a team total perspective. Now you're adding two really good bats into that lineup here. I might be looking at the Yankees now in the second half to get their team totals, Kevin. Great moves by the Yankees for me.
At the minimum, they will be circled, I know, by Donnie. I had messaged Donnie after the Rizzo deal yesterday. When the Yanks get back to Yankee Stadium next Tuesday, playing the Baltimore Orioles, I had to set that team total at a 10. To keep me off of it, right? I mean, again, Rizzo and Gallo are going to be like both minus 105 on a parlay to hit home runs like in that game. It is going to be some phenomenal stuff here. Like, I made this point, you know, during this week, there's no reason to even discuss this team being sellers. They were a game back of the A's in the loss column. Go out there and be aggressive. A couple of good wins against the Tampa Bay Rays, and then an embarrassing loss to finish out that series. Almost kind of the perfect mix of, hey, this is why you need to go out there and be aggressive. And I like the Gallo move. I love the Rizzo move. You said it, Donnie, a gold glove defensive player, but more importantly, doesn't strike out, gets on base, and again, can take advantage of the way Yankee Stadium is built and potentially turn that back into more of a home field advantage like it has not been on this season. The team that the Yanks are trying to hunt down if they want to do more than make a wild card spot, the Boston Red Sox, they get themselves Kyle Schwarber over there at Fenway Park. On one end, Donnie, I'm like, God, I feel like this is them trying to make a move because they got beat on Rizzo by the Yanks. On the other hand, last time I saw Kyle Schwarber playing baseball, he's the hottest man in the league.
Great move by them. Another cheap, you know, cost acquisition here that should help you out down the stretch. A power left-handed bat that when he gets going, he can get hot. Seems like a lot of these deals are going down. Look at Jock Peterson when he went to the Atlanta Braves. Immediately starts hitting a left-handed power bat. It's like getting left-handed pitching or left-handers out of the bullpen here. There's not a lot to go around, but when you can secure somebody that can legitimately help your team, and look, they're a first-place team. Is that going to hurt them at all by getting Kyle Schwarber? Fantastic move. You can DH him. You can play him in the field. Everything is working out well for for these teams that are looking to make the playoffs. The rich get richer in Major League Baseball, and the Boston Red Sox as well just got a little bit richer.
We'll update you on the futures markets as it pertains to these ball clubs and break down what it could potentially mean in hot or not, which is next right here on the Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, let's do it. Back right here on the Early Line. Kevin Walsh, Donnie Wrightside hanging out with you on this Friday morning. Time for hot or not. We have a very strong list of options to sink our teeth into. I want to go back to the NBA to start this thing off. And it's a real simple one. It's going to be the big conversation around this move. Donnie, hot or not, Russell Westbrook fits with LeBron and the Lakers.
I'm going to go hot because superstars fit anywhere they go typically, right? Okay, do you want Russell Westbrook? No, I don't want him. I don't think he fits with us. He fits anywhere he goes. He is a walking triple-double. Now, the fact is, Kevin, I don't know how many triple-doubles that he's going to get now because LeBron James and Anthony Davis are there, and they're not clearing out space just so Russell Westbrook can get a few rebounds in the fourth quarter. That's not going to happen. But if we're looking for the perfect fit, I would have to go not on this one because I do think they needed a better shooter out of that position. But overall, a superstar is going to – hey, it's a big three now, Kevin. I think the last time we mentioned big three with LeBron James worked out pretty well when he went down with the Miami Heat and picked up a couple championships. So this does not hurt the Lakers. Yes, he will fit in with the Lakers, Kevin. But my question to you, is he the best fit for the Lakers?
And I think certainly some of that does – come down to who was available. Here's what I'll tell you, though, Donnie. I think some people losing their mind a little bit here. Buddy Hield would have been a better get than Russell Westbrook. That's laughable. That's outrageous. You know what? You're right. What they should have done is called up Kyle Korver, in fact. Kyle Korver would be a better fit than Russell Westbrook. Stop this. This is madness, okay? There's a significant gap in the talent of Russell Westbrook and Buddy Hield. Buddy's a great shooter, a great piece, and maybe a player the Lakers could still land. I think it'd be a welcome addition to this squad. I'm not saying they don't need shooting, but Buddy Hield's not Russell Westbrook. Russ is still a top 30 player in the league. He's not a top 10 player anymore, but he's still a top 30 player in the NBA, coming off of a season of averaging a 20-point triple-double for the whole year. And of course, the question in terms of, well, does he fit with LeBron? Folks, do we not recall what people criticized amongst this Lakers team all last season? Was that they needed somebody else to take the playmaking duties off of LeBron's plate? Like, is that not exactly what Russell Westbrook can do? Also, in terms of fit, unless Frank Vogel doesn't understand rotations, you can stagger minutes, allow year 19 LeBron to get a little bit more rest and let Russell Westbrook man some of your bare bone lineups there and be at home dominating the basketball. So yeah, they'd like to add some more shooting, but at the end of the day, talent is the name of the game, and the Lakers added a tremendously talented player. Their odds did not drop from 6-1 to win the title to +420 for no reason. I like that the Lakers made this move. Look, if you gave me a list of point guards, Donnie, Chris Paul, or I tell you this, Donnie, I'll throw it back to you. Russell Westbrook or Kemba Walker?
I would go Russell Westbrook. And this is coming from a guy that, if you follow me on social media, not the biggest Westbrook fan, because I do think he's extremely selfish, but now coming to a team where maybe a championship is finally in the crosshairs, maybe he can take that step back here, Kevin, to take two steps forward and win a championship with LeBron James and Anthony Davis. But yes, I would take Westbrook over Kemba Walker. And also, let's keep in mind as well, this isn't one of those moves where it was hastily done, right? Obviously, LeBron James wants the guy, but let's remember, you know, Russell Westbrook, no stranger to the city of Los Angeles, starring for UCLA. So more of one of those homecomings. Do you think he's not going to be invigorated now going to the Los Angeles Lakers with a chance to win a championship? And your original point, Kevin, very well taken also. you're looking at a guy that's very durable, that has a lot of energy on the court. He doesn't need minutes restrictions on him to say, hey, can't play that much during the regular season because we need you for the playoffs. He gets after it each and every night on the court 100%. So that might help even more, because when you take a look at maybe a Chris Paul move, do you want to play Chris Paul 35 minutes in a regular season game and wear him out before the playoffs because he's a little bit older? I don't think you have that issue with Westbrook. He can eat all those minutes, even when LeBron is taking his time off to take some of those, you know, days off to try to rest his legs and minutes restrictions, so forth, till he gets to the playoffs.
And here's another question that you can ask yourself for those watching and listening to us. Is Russell Westbrook better than Dennis Schroeder? The answer is obviously yes, by the way, because that team, when they were healthy, yeah, well, that's a good point. They're $100 million man. But at the end of the day, like, that group with Schroeder as the third option had the second best record in the Western Conference. And like, they were making that kind of a push there. So don't overthink this. It's a strong move. Yesterday, the NBA draft did take place. Cade Cunningham got things started at number one overall for the Detroit Pistons. We don't have odds right now for the Rookie of the Year, but when they come out, Donnie, hot or not, Cade Cunningham should be favored to win the award.
Yeah, I think he will be, and why not? This isn't one of those drafts where Anthony Bennett got taken number one overall by the Cleveland Cavaliers. You're like, whoa, is he going to be the best player in the NBA and win Rookie of the Year? And everybody's like, eh, I don't really know about that pick, and I don't really know about the player, where it turns out that we were correct. But looking at Cade Cunningham and, you know, his measurables heading into the NBA and what he can do and produce, what can he not do? He showed everything on display at Oklahoma State. Where you take a look at Jalen Green, you know, hey, he never played college basketball, but stepping up. Now we do know he's talented. You don't go number two overall unless you have some talent. Evan Mobley, more of a big guy in the NBA. Jalen Suggs, you know, is going to lead a point guard Orlando Magic. But if we're looking from a Cade Cunningham perspective, what do we want out of him, Kevin? Usage rate, right? Is there going to be a time where the Pistons goes, hey, let's take this kid a little bit slowly here? It's almost like when we equate it to the NFL and the NFL draft number one overall. Trevor Lawrence goes to the Jacksonville Jaguars. He's the favorite to win Rookie of the Year. Why? He's not going to get benched. If Cade Cunningham doesn't play well, you know, in October and November, hey, maybe we slow it down here and send you down to the G League and get some minutes and work. That's not happening here. He is going to play a ton of minutes, which means if he stays healthy, Kevin, on what we think is going to be an average basketball team to below average basketball team, he's going to get a high usage rate with a lot of points, and he's going to be on ESPN quite a bit with some highlights, because why? He's the number one overall pick, and he's expected to do so. He should be the favorite to me, Kevin.
Who said Donnie wasn't a draft guy? I mean, he's absolutely right in every single thing that he just said right there. Because not only is Cade the best player in the draft, but again, you compare projected usage rate. Does anybody stack up? Maybe Jalen Green in Houston, but I think Kevin Porter Jr. is going to have a little bit of something to say about that. Plus, he's going to be playing next to exclusively rookies. I mean, you want to talk about a team that's just going to be figuring it out in Houston. Evan Mobley very likely won't see that kind of usage and might be playing double big lineups with Jared Allen. I know, like, Jalen Suggs is interesting. Cole Anthony was drafted last year in the first round, and Markelle Fultz just got paid. I'm not sure what kind of usage rate Suggs walks into. Josh Kitty, just because OKC doesn't have a ton of talent. Like, at this point, there's a huge gap, not in terms of talent, and Donnie said in terms of projected usage right there for Cade Cunningham. I'll go one better. I think you could probably hang a Brooklyn Nets NBA championship price on Cade Cunningham, that plus 195 kind of number, and justify it. I think you should be a considerable favorite to win that award. All right, let's go over to Major League Baseball here. Donnie, make it real simple for people. Max Scherzer, Trey Turner, they now play for the LA Dodgers. Hot or not, the Dodgers will repeat as World Series champions.
Based on today, as we look, you know, before the trade deadline on the 30th of July, with still 2 months left to go, and the Dodgers not even in first place in their own division, but yet we expect them to win a World Series? Yeah, absolutely. That's hot. Plus 330. Sign me up on this one. I wish I had the plus 500 previously. Now, look, just because you add superstars and superstar talent doesn't mean you automatically win, right? But take a look at the lineup, and we can only project here, Kevin, on what's going to take place. The 1 through 8 in that lineup, it's basically all-star after All-Star after All-Star. And the best part about the Dodgers lineup, it's not murderer's row. And what I mean by that is, look at the balance of speed and power in that lineup. So when they do get on base, they can steal. When they do get a single that looks like it's going to be in the gap, they can extend it to a double. That when you have a guy on third base and you ground out with one out, they can beat the throw to the plate. And oh yeah, when you're maximizing your position in the playoffs, it's about your rotation. So I'm led to believe in a seven-game series, I'm going to get Scherzer, Buehler, and Clayton Kershaw probably in that order. And oh yeah, they might even add on another pitcher here at the deadline to keep that up. But you're looking basically in a playoff series, you need three really good pitchers, check. You need a good lineup, the best in baseball by a wide margin when healthy. Now you just need to get that back end of the bullpen set. I would not be surprised, Kevin, if they complete that process today before the trade deadline. It seems too easy. Ah, somebody else is going to get them. They're not even in first place. Watch out for some of these other teams. But if you put the Dodgers against up anybody in baseball, Kevin, in a seven-game series, how are they not the favorite? That's all I need to know.
The Dodgers entered yesterday with the best run differential in baseball, and it feels like they're not even playing that well. They have been confusing to me for a lot of this season. I ultimately land on not, and I'm aware I might regret it, but there's just something that hasn't clicked with this team. Now, yeah, you absolutely can take it the other way. So it hasn't clicked. They've won 62 games, and they've got, you know, baseball's second-best run differential. Like, what happens when it does click? What happens now that they've added Scherzer and Turner? I don't know. Probably what Donnie just said. They probably just go out there and win the World Series again. They're also going to play the Padres potentially in a single-game elimination, and I'm not, like, yeah, they'll be favored. They will be, but that's not an easy task. It certainly is not. Like, the Padres have had plenty of success against the Dodgers this season. I just can't get there on the Dodgers right now. We'll see how the numbers line up last year. And I was all about the Dodgers last season. Like, when that team was like plus 110 in the National League when we entered the postseason, I'm like, listen, just bet it because they're going to win the National League. And they did. They absolutely did. There's something about this group that isn't clicking. But again, maybe it will snap into place and they'll just never look back. How about one more for us here on Hot or Not? Rizzo is a Yankee. We also, of course, saw Kyle Schwarber go to the Boston Red Sox. Donnie, hot or not, the Yankees can win the AL East.
I mean, hey, look, I know we're really excited about these two bats that come. I'm not even a Yankees fan. I'm excited because I think there's betting opportunities now for the Yankees day to day with their team totals. But it's 10-1 to win the AL East. This is absolutely not at this point here. The Red Sox are the best team in the division. So if the Red Sox just play average baseball down the stretch here in August and September, the Yankees have to make up an 8.5 game differential with about 60 games. There's absolutely no way possible that that is going to happen. Do I think the Yankees have a chance to make the playoffs? Yes. But even at a 10-1 price, if we were looking at maybe 4.5 games, Kevin, 3.5 games, I could see that as a differential margin. But a 10-1 price with 8.5 games back where they have to win the division, I don't see that as possible right now. I'm going to go with the not. As this hurts you on a Friday where you're so excited like it's Christmas, that two big left-handed bats are coming to the Bronx, they ain't winning this division, Kevin.
All right. Now, I have no idea who that was that just said that, but it's not my guy, Donnie Wrightside. I know that for sure. Of course, this is hot. Of course they can win the AL East. What are we even talking about here? First of all, I learned at a young age, you use the loss column when it benefits you. 8.5, no. There are 7 back in the loss column. There are still a bazillion games to be played because it's Major League Baseball. And I think at times we forget that just because we're going to hit August. There's still over 60 games left on the slate for these squads here. And why can't they go on a tremendous run with the amount of talent that they just added to this lineup here? And oh, by the way, maybe they aren't done. Certainly could be the case. I think they could still win the AL East. 10-1, not a bad price. We'll come on back. We'll give out a hero of the night.
Sports
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back right here on Sports Grid. And what do you say? Why don't we use the NBA draft to give out a hero of the night? The NBA draft, like all drafts, right? It's about suspense, unpredictability, surprises, and some folks don't appreciate that. Some folks find it necessary to let you know the first three picks of a draft 12 hours out. That's not fun. Well, thank goodness for the Toronto Raptors, and thank goodness for Scottie Barnes, because once we got to the fourth pick overall, the excitement started and made people a lot of money if they back Scottie Barnes to go fourth overall. He's going to come away with some Hero of the Night honors. How about that? Basically, day one in the NBA, and Scottie Barnes gets himself Hero of the Night, plus 300 to be the fourth overall selection. I absolutely love the shot that this sent to the NBA draft betting markets. And for that, Donnie comes away with a Hero of the Night.
Absolutely. And I love chaos, particularly, Kevin, when I'm not involved in the chaos here. All we heard throughout the day and for leading up to the draft for weeks on end, the draft starts at five. The draft starts at pick number five. Not so fast here. Scottie Barnes takes number four down here and heads to the Toronto Raptors, shocking everybody out there. And also, when you take a look, we always talk about the FanDuel Sportsbook odds boost here. It feels like that was an odds boosted price at plus 300 that nobody expected him to go number four overall. Way to get into the chaos here for us. Scottie Barnes going number four overall, because I know Kevin doing the show last night, that gets some great talking points out there. Hero of the night with upsets? Absolutely. Plus 300, Scottie Barnes. Congratulations. You, my friend, are the hero of the night.
And by the way, there was also odds to be top 10 picks, but they were exclusively yes markets. I guess I understand why, because that's where all the plus money was hiding. James Bouknight closes at minus 1050 to be a top 10 pick and goes 11. If you were somebody out there that laid that number, I can only imagine the stress and the heartbreak that was watching the opening 11 picks of that draft. Coming back, hour number two here on the Early Line.
Coming to you 24 hours a day,
7 days a week,
with the sports gaming strategies and information you won't find anywhere else.